From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. In the early days, when Polly Rodriguez first launched her company, she did what many companies do. She took out ads on Facebook. Just small purchases at first.
Really, I mean, we're talking like $100 of like week type small.
But as business grew, she started spending more. And that is when the trouble began.
What ends up happening is Facebook and Instagram kind of blacklist your account so that your Facebook ad manager account, like literally just nothing will ever get approved. So we could take out an ad of puppies and it would still not get approved. Like literally just a picture of puppies and it still doesn't get approved because it's the actual ad manager account that is blocked.
And you might be wondering, what exactly is Polly selling here? Like Russian propaganda? Nuclear arms? The keys to Mark Zuckerberg's house? No. It is something that for some reason the likes of Facebook finds far scarier than that. So let's take a moment to meet Polly.
My name is Polly Rodriguez, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Unbound.
And Unbound is what?
A sexual wellness company.
Which means?
Which means we are a place that destigmatizes sexuality. We both educate and write content as well as make and sell vibrators, lubricants, and accessories in a way that is not intimidating.
Maybe you've heard of this problem before. There are just some categories of business that the rest of the business world simply doesn't want to touch. And sexuality is right there at the top. Why? We could spend the next 5 hours guessing, but I'll lay out my own bias right up front here. I think this is ridiculous and that we'd be better off as a culture if we had more, not less, open and honest dialogue about sex and stopped treating it as something to be ashamed of. But the fact is, for whatever reason, we are not collectively mature enough to do that. And so a company like Polly's finds that most doors that are open to other small businesses are shut.
These are all like actual either advertising platforms or just services that we have tried to pay or use that have told us like overtly no. So Snapchat, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Outbrain, Taboola, JustWorks won't let us use them as like a, you know, HR software. Intuit and QuickBooks shut down our account. Stripe won't let us use them as a payment processor. It goes on and on and on, all the way down to like even opening a bank account. Like technically I don't think our bank actually knows what we do. Because the moment they find out, they just categorically deny us.
What is a company like Unbound supposed to do in the face of this? How do you reach your customers? How do you process payments? How do you grow as a brand? The answer is that you have to be extremely resourceful because in entrepreneurship, no matter if you're selling vibrators or, you know, something Facebook does think its users are mature enough to handle, you will have to find your own way forward. Everyone's done it. Polly is just an extreme example. And so in this episode, Polly's going to walk us through it, how she built an audience despite the barriers and last year crossed the $2 million mark in revenue. We will get into it all right after this break, or I guess right after this break, because Problem Solvers is a comfortable and traditional advertising environment. Dell knows that running a small business takes hard work. So as a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, they are offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th generation Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details. And now our second sponsor. Here is a crazy statistic. More than 1/4 of Americans say that they'd start their own business in the next year if they could. But only a fraction of those actually do it. Why? Well, because taking the leap can be scary. Luckily, there's Weebly. Weebly is the easiest way to create an incredible looking website, but more importantly, it comes with a whole bunch of tools to help you sell your products, process payment, manage inventory, create marketing campaigns, and grow your brand. And because Weebly's mission is to help turn people's great ideas into successful businesses, they've built an incredible support team. If you have a question, just pick up the phone to talk to a customer success expert. No scripts, no robots, just a friendly human who can help you do what needs doing. So if you've got a product or idea that you want to share with the world, check out Weebly. You can have a beautiful, powerful online store up and running in a matter of hours. And because you listen to this podcast right here, you can visit Weebly.com/solvers, Weebly.com/solvers, and get 15% off your first purchase. Don't just build a beautiful website, build a successful online business with Weebly. All right, we're back. So first of all, you need to understand where Polly is coming from, because selling vibrators was not always part of her plan.
It's definitely not what I, or I think my parents, thought I would be doing.
In 2007, Polly was 21 and was diagnosed with cancer, and so had to leave college and move back home with her parents in St. Louis. The radiation treatment triggered menopause and destroyed her reproductive organs, which was something she struggled to reckon with.
And so I kind of took it upon myself to go out and try to reclaim my sexuality. And buying a vibrator for the first time in the Midwest was a pretty mortifying experience that kind of always stuck with me.
It was one of those cheesy, hypersexualized places with mannequins wearing like crotchless stocking onesies or whatever. It was almost a stereotype of an adult store, or maybe whatever Facebook's advertising department imagines an adult store is. Anyway, it wasn't a place for Polly. This wasn't originally a life-changing event, though. Once she was healthy and had regained a normal life, she went to work for Senator Claire McCaskill because the cancer had left her feeling a sense of mission. She wanted to work on things that mattered. But she grew frustrated with the pace of government and left to take a job on Wall Street. And from there, she decided to get into startups. She'd seen the growth of direct-to-consumer companies and wondered what categories could really be disrupted with a great new startup. And that is when she thought back to her experience buying a vibrator. That's a market where the shopping experience is often uncomfortable and a big consumer base is left unserved. So in 2014, she and a co-founder created a subscription box company for adult products, essentially to test out the market in a low-cost way. And they learned a ton, including where they could have a distinct advantage.
Historically, I think companies in this category have not been able to really acquire top talent because of the stigmas, particularly when it comes to women. Some of the first trade shows I went to, there were literally no women there. It was all middle-aged white men, basically, who were owning and running these companies that were selling products predominantly to women. And so I think a lot of the marketing and the packaging reflected that, where you'd see these women that were hypersexualized and like lingerie with like, you know, ridiculously big boobs and high heels and a full face of makeup. And I think most women see that and it immediately does not feel relatable.
So advantage number one, Polly was hiring smart women who could understand the consumer base better than many competitors. And also she spotted another weakness in the marketplace.
It's also just super fragmented from the retailer perspective. So similar to what you see in other direct-to-consumer industries and verticals that have done well, like Casper or Warby Parker, you're kind of disrupting a supply chain where distributors take a 40% cut. So vibrators cost maybe, you know, $15, $20, $25 on the higher end to actually make, but often sell for $200. And that's largely because you have distributors which take a 40% price cut. And so if you can cut those guys out, and sell directly to your customers, you can really offer a higher quality product at a better price.
Through the subscription box, she'd been collecting great data on what her shopper wants, from the price point to the materials to the kind of branding. And now she sees this opening to make her own products and not bother with retailers at all and only sell through Unbound's website, where they can control the price and the experience and the relationship with the customer. And so how do you do that? Well, if you were any other kind of startup, you'd start marketing yourself heavily. But Unbound doesn't really have that option. As we already explored, most marketing avenues are closed to them. Except, interestingly, Google, which doesn't ban vibrator ads, but
Google is literally one of maybe three paid advertising platforms that does not. But as a result of that, AdWords are super expensive. So if you're a startup and you're trying to bid on vibrator, it's outrageously expensive because you're competing, because that's the only channel that's left to everybody.
So still not much of a solution. And if you're wondering, no, Unbound doesn't advertise on porn sites. They tried it, actually, but it doesn't convert well. And so this leads Polly to a very different kind of approach. And it's one that, frankly, everyone should be thinking about anyway.
I think you have to think about, in the really early days, or at least what I thought about, was how do I have a message that is compelling and that will get people to care about this brand, about these products, and about this category? And especially, how do I get people to tell their friends about it? When you couple that with the fact that people don't like to talk about sexuality and sexual health. And so for me, it was, how do I build, like, in the early days, it was just email marketing. Like, how can I write email newsletters that are witty and funny and engaging and humorous and have content that is useful? I used to think about people's inboxes as if it's like a doorstep. And every time you like knock on that person's door, you better have something to offer them, because otherwise they're not going to open the door anymore. And so it started with me just writing really quirky, weird emails, and that kind of took off, and people would tell their friends about the emails. It wouldn't be like, oh, buy a vibrator. It'd be like, oh my God, you should sign up for Unbound, like, email newsletters. They're really funny.
Polly was talking straight to her audience. Screw the platforms. Their rejection only made her work harder at honing a voice that people wanted to hear. It was a lot of late nights and a lot of trial and error, but she began to get it. And from there, she began working with micro-influencers who really aligned with Unbound's values. And she found an unexpected benefit of all this. If she were just dumping money into Facebook ads, she'd be getting a wide audience that may or may not be into what she's doing. Maybe she'd get a bunch of one-time purchases or whatever, and then she'd have to spend more to get more one-timers. But here, she was attracting genuine fans.
It's been painful, but it's allowed us to build defensibility in what is often a category where investors constantly say, well, what's the defensibility about, you know, what you're doing in direct to consumer?
The defensibility is that people love her brand and what it stands for. People are essentially coming to Unbound, not the other way around. And this emboldened Polly to start thinking bigger about brand voice. It couldn't just be about newsletters and influencers. It had to go past that. It had to be louder, bolder. It had to be a PR stunt.
We did a campaign called Vibes for Congress, where you could send a vibrator to any congressional member you wanted, and 75% of the proceeds went to Planned Parenthood. And it took off in a way that I never expected. Like, every press outlet wrote about it, from Breitbart and Sarah Palin to the Washington Post and Elle and Huffington Post and all that stuff. And so I think we just continually try to create campaigns that reflect our brand values, but that are also fun and witty and engaging and, you know, stuff that the press will want to write about.
Mitch McConnell got 300 vibrators. He returned them all unopened along with a stern note. So Unbound just gave those away at various events. But hilariously, that only represented 15% of the vibrators that were sold during the stunt and sent to Congress. More than 2,000 were shipped overall.
But like, Mitch McConnell was the only one who sent it back. All the rest, God only knows where they are now, but they're not here.
The customers that Unbound picked up during this stunt turned out to be particularly great customers. They're people who clearly appreciate the message and dig what Unbound's voice and attitude is all about, so they were more likely to sign up for the newsletter, which meant that they were more likely to become repeat customers. But of course, you can't pull off a super successful PR stunt every month. It's good when the moment is right, but Unbound needed a more sustainable way to keep serving its audience, which is where a key hire comes in.
We have a director of content, yeah. Which I, like, early on, it was one of those things where people were like, do you really need that? And I was like, yeah, we really do need someone full-time who's, like, managing all of that.
With the director of content, Unbound was able to expand outwards in many ways. There's small stuff, like creating memes and sending them to meme accounts, which sometimes will repost them and give Unbound a little boost. And then there's big stuff, like building out a sex education magazine on Unbound's site, where writers will interview sex educators and therapists and dominatrixes and so on. This engages readers, it keeps them coming back, and it gives them another reason to follow the brand on social media. And also, critically, it helps Unbound capture people on Google searches. Because, hey, as we reviewed, you know, a Google ad might be really expensive for a company like Unbound, but being at the top of the search results is just a matter of good SEO.
So we're like the number one Google search result for feminist porn, but we don't host like any pornography on our website. We just like one of the, our director of growth is like a former Google person. And so she was like, we should try to just really focus on writing content that does well with Google searches. So feminist porn, we get tons of traffic from that, where we just have articles that are roundups that are like, here are the best websites to go to if you want to watch feminist porn.
Here's how this strategy has scaled. In 2015, Unbound did $20,000 in revenue. In 2016, $550,000 in revenue. In 2017, $2.4 million. Now they're a team of eight and the growth continues. Polly feels really good about it, and she's especially excited about the future, one where she thinks Unbound will be poised to really break out.
I can feel more and more taboos just kind of falling away day by day. And so I do think that when the Facebooks of the world and the Instagrams of the world and all those other companies I listed decide to change their policies, then we'll really see just like crazy, crazy growth. Because we'll have access to channels that so many other direct-to-consumer companies before us have built their businesses on that we haven't had the opportunity to yet.
That day may sound impossibly far away, but let's not forget, Lucy and Ricky Ricardo didn't sleep in the same bed together in I Love Lucy because networks at the time thought it was too racy to show a married couple lying down next to each other. The six kids in the Brady Bunch shared a bathroom with no toilet because toilets were also considered too offensive to put on TV. Today, we will laugh at stuff like that. We think it's old-fashioned and ridiculous. Time moves on. It makes the once abnormal seem normal. And the only question is, what direction do you want to face? Backwards or forwards? And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.